Well, I'll make my way out of the way, and not as quick as I used to be. Amen. Some of y'all can say, "Amen." You can relate to that. Amen. But anyway, it's good to be here today, and I appreciate the Lord's blessings, and I appreciate it's an honor that your pastor let me come and preach, and I do not count it lightly. But we're going to open our Bibles to the book of Philippians, chapter number 4, this morning, just for a while, and you just pray the Lord give me liberty and unction of the Holy Ghost that I may preach what He wants to preach this morning and do His will. Amen. There's no greater thing than doing the will of God. Amen. And everything, preaching and whatever you do, you know, do it to the will of God. And so that's what we want to do. And I want you to look with me in chapter number 4 of Philippians, chapter number 4. I'm going to read the first verse, and then I'm going to skip down to the third verse. I want you to notice something. He said, "Therefore, my brethren, dearly beloved and longed for, my joy and my crown, so steadfast in the Lord, my dearly beloved." Now, notice what he said. "And I treat thee," verse 3, "also, true yoke fellows, help those women which labor with me in the gospel, Clement also, and with the other my fellow laborers, whose names are in the book of life." Verse 4, "Rejoice in the Lord, and again I say rejoice." Let's pray. Father, I am thankful for your goodness, your mercy, and your grace. I love you today. I pray that you'd forgive us of our shortcomings and our failures to you. But I pray, Lord, you'd help us today as we preach the Word of God. Give us liberty, give us unction, give us strength in the body. Now be with Brother Shepherd as he preaches the Word where he's at. And Lord, just have you will in your way in each heart and each life. We'll thank you and praise you for what you do for us today. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. I want you to key in on that verse, on verse number 4. And I want you to notice what he said. "Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice." Now there's something he's telling us here today is to rejoice. God's people ought to rejoice. Amen. Sometimes we walk around and we look like we've lost our best friend, look like we've been sucking on an old dill pickle, just, you know, but He wants us to rejoice, amen? He tells us to rejoice in the Lord. Now, I want you to notice what Paul said in that first verse of Philippians chapter 4. He said, "Therefore, my brethren, dearly beloved and longed for, my joy and my crown." He spoke of those people being his joy, and he told them, "Be steadfast in the Lord, so my dearly beloved." But he said, "You're my joy and you're my crown." Right. They brought joy to him because they were serving the Lord. Can I say something this morning? Sometimes we come in the house of God and we're worried about what happened yesterday. There's nothing you can do about it. Amen. That day is gone. And sometimes we come in worried about this and worried about that instead of rejoicing in the Lord. We ought to look ahead. That's why he's running the race, he tells us. Run the race. Keep our eyes fixed on Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. Amen. And he is. But I want you to notice something we're going to look at, because we need to be a rejoicing people, not a sad people. Even as Israel was a sad people, and they had laid their trumpet down in the willow trees, and they didn't sing their song because they had lost their joy. Their joy was gone. They said, "How can we sing in a foreign land?" But I want you to look with me in Acts chapter number 8 and verse number 5, and we're going to see something that's taking place. We see the example, first of all, there's some things that'll bring us joy. I'm glad we got some things to joy in. I'm glad there's some things that God gives us that brings us joy. Now, well, number one, I want to say this. The power of God brings joy. Right. Can I say that again? God's power brings joy.
Amen.
Amen. Or bring rejoicing. Look what it said in chapter 8, verse number 5. And Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ unto them. And the people with one accord gave heed unto the things which Philip spake, and hearing and seeing the miracles he did. For the unclean spirits cried out with a loud voice, and came out of many, that they were possessed with them, and many taken with a palsy, that were lame, were healed. And there was, y'all say it with me, great joy in the city. Look what happens. Listen, the power of God brings us joy. You see what God was doing? God was doing a work.
Amen.
Amen. Hey, while Philip was down there, people was getting touched and they were getting the help. And we see as he was down there, we see what's taking place. He preached Christ unto them, and the people with one accord gave heed. Hey, they listened to what the preacher preached. And he said, and preached Christ unto them. And the people gave heed unto the things which Philip spake, hearing and seeing the miracles which he did. See, God was doing great things amongst the city. But it all centers around the Word of God. Amen. Now notice what's taking place. We see there was rejoicing in the city. Verse 8 said, and there was great joy in the city. Praise God, we need joy in the church again. We need folk to be happy. Somebody said a good word for that joy is to be happy. Amen?
Amen.
I mean, I used to tell folks back there in Arkansas, son, they'd come in, I said, pick up your lips so you don't burn it on the carpet. Amen? Hey, listen, be happy in Jesus. Amen?
Amen.
He's done so many things for you. Listen, here's what's taking place. First of all, we ought to be happy because God's power to save. I'm glad He saves old sinners, aren't you? Aren't you still glad He's in the saving business? Listen to what they said in Luke chapter 15. Turn over there with me real quickly. Luke chapter number 15, I want you to notice what's taking place here. There in Luke chapter number 15, listen, folks, we're getting saved. He tells about the publican and the sinner, and it tells about, you know, one being justified and the other being rejected. But he said this, he said verse number 6, I want to see what he talks about that sheep being lost and said, having lost sheep, but then he gets down to verse number 6. And when he cometh home, he calleth together his friends and neighbors, saying unto them, rejoice with me, for I found the sheep which was lost. And I say unto you, that likewise shall joy be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth, more over than the 99 just persons that need no repentance.
Amen.
Look what he said. There's one that I brought home. There's one that I've saved and brought back. Hey, he's back home. He said, rejoice.
Amen.
He said, there's rejoicing where? In the presence of the angels over one sinner that repented. I'm glad this morning to say thank God. I think we can rejoice over what God's done to save old sinners.
Amen.
Listen, He's given us great tools to do that. We see the power in which He done it. Listen, there's something that's taking place. He got power. And then verse number 10, that same chapter, He said again, rejoice. He tells them again in chapter number 15, when we find that that had been recovered, He says in verse number 10, He said them, let me back up. Didn't miss my place. Let's stick with verse number 7. I done rolled down the wrong scripture. But we see what's taking place. Remember, the man that had the other is to rejoice. And he talked about the candle. He talked about, here it is, verse number 9. And when she has found the coin, talk about it. She called her friends and neighbors together and sang, rejoice with me, for I found the peace which I'd lost. Verse 10, likewise I say unto you, there's joy in the presence of the angels over one sinner that repenteth.
Amen.
There it is, listen. That which is lost is found is rejoiced. There's rejoicing taking place. Listen, we can rejoice in the saving power of God. Hey, we can rejoice. There's joy in heaven over one sinner that repenteth. Amen? There's rejoicing going on. Praise God. We ought to be in the house of God rejoicing because He saves sinners. I remember the day He saved me. Hallelujah. Seemed like a long time ago, but not that long either. Listen, there was some rejoicing in my life. Amen. I mean, I was happy, happy, happy. Amen. And so I was rejoicing. But you know what? Not only we see God's power to save, we'll rejoice in. We'll pray in God's power to strengthen. You know what He told the folks in Nehemiah chapter number 8, verse number 10? He told them, said, neither be sorry. He said, be not sorry. But He said this. He said in the latter part of that verse, He said for them, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. See, we wonder why people say, preacher, I'm weak. Where's your joy at? Don't have no joy, you don't have no strength. Because the joy of the Lord's your strength. Amen. And if there ever needed a people needed strength, in the day of Nehemiah, they needed some strength. They were doing a work for God. Hey, Island Ford Baptist Church here, and through WSOF Radio, guess what you're doing? You're doing a work for the Lord. And listen, let the joy of the Lord be your strength. You don't know. Hey, listen, this morning, what's going over on the radio, all you see is what's happening right here. But I'm telling how many sinners have been saved because they heard the Word of God being preached. So it is their strength. Let your joy be your strength. But not only that, His Word does this. Listen, if we'll look, God's power stirs. You know, people get stirred up. Remember when Paul in the book of Acts, they had talked about one of the servants there that they caused a stir in the city. Listen, the joy brings a stir. Amen. Stir folks up. Your joy can stir people up. You know, He tells us in the book of John chapter, I'm going to read these verses, John chapter number 16. I'm going back over there just for a minute. And I want to look and see what the Word of God tells us, but in John chapter 16, and we're going to find out that it does, it brings us strength, but here's what else it does. It brings us, it stirs up, because, let me get there, John 16. I'll get there in a minute. I'm in so many other things. But anyway, amen, the Lord's good to us, isn't He? Hey, He gives us His joy. But in John chapter 16, and look with me if you would, in verse number 22, notice what He said here. He said in verse number 22, He said, and ye now therefore have sorrow, but I will see you again, and your heart shall rejoice, and your joy no man take from you. Look what's taking place here. There's something that, look, we ought to do this. We ought to rejoice because of God's, when we look at Him, because God stirs. He stirs in His presence. When He shows up, He stirs in His presence. Hey, we find something that's taking place there. He brings us joy. He brings us joy in His power to stir. His Word stirs us. Don't you get stirred by His Word? His will ought to stir you. To do His will ought to stir you up. Remember what Peter said? I stir up your pure minds. I stir you by way of remembrance. You know, we need to be stirred. Amen. We need to be stirred to do something. Stirred up to do something. Amen. I remember when I was a boy and I'd get around and there'd be a big old wasp nest and I'd pick me up a rock and I'd hit that wasp nest. And guess what them wasps do? They get stirred. And so would I. I'd get to running. Amen. But listen, we need to be stirred up. But we see it not only stirs, His power stirs us up. And listen, His power to stir us up in His Word and His will, but in His working. Amen. He gives us a work to do. Amen. We ought to be stirred up about the work. What can I do for the Lord? Remember Paul on the road to Damascus after he'd gotten saved? And when he met the Lord that day, he met the Lord that day and he said, "Lord, what will thou have me to do?" Did he not? Amen. He did. But you know something? When we look there, we see something. We see the presence of the Lord stirs us up. That was a scripture I was reading a while ago. Got ahead of myself. "Verily, verily, I say unto you, that ye shall weep and lament, and the world shall rejoice, and your sorrow, your sorrow shall be turned into joy." Verse number 20. Your sorrow is going to be turned into joy. Remember Jesus talked about this. He talked about that our joy might be filled. Amen. That we might have fullness of joy.
Right.
He said in John chapter number 20. Now look over there with me. In John chapter 20, I've got these verses written down. Verse number 20. Notice what he said again in John chapter 20, verse 20. He tells them again in the Word of God, verse number 20. He said this. He said, "And when he had said, he showed unto them his hands and his side. Then the disciples, glad were they that saw the Lord." There was joy in there. There was gladness. They were glad.
Amen.
Amen. I mean, they wasn't mad. They wasn't sad. They was glad. They had joy in seeing Jesus. I want to say this. There's joy in His presence.
Amen.
Amen. There's joy in His presence. I look at my notes. Even my notes I wrote down. Joy in the presence of a Christian life. I'm glad. Listen. Some of the best times I have in my life is when I start to sing unto the Lord. I mean, might be going down the road, but it's just me and Him. I said, "Lord, I know this voice ain't nothing, but I just want to sing to You. I like to sing how wonderful and glorious You are. I like to sing about there's no other name other than Jesus. No other name precious as He."
Right.
Amen. I like to sing to Him every once in a while. He's the lily of the valley. Amen. Listen, what starts to happen? Boy, He'll show up in the presence of the Lord. There'll be joy in the midst of the Christian's heart when they start just praising and glorifying God and letting His joy fill us up. Spend some time alone with the Lord. And if you do it, He always shows up. He'd always be there. You know what we see in His presence? Here's what it does. It is a blessing when His presence shows up in the church. See, He's not in a lot of them. Remember in Laodicea?
Yep.
Chapter 3, verse 20. "Behold, I stand at the door and knock."
Yeah.
What door is He standing at? Laodicean church door.
Amen.
"He that opened the door, I will come in and sub with him and him with me." See, He wants to be in the presence of the church. He wants to be in the midst of us. If He's in the midst of us, there's going to be joy. Amen? There's going to be rejoicing. There's going to be happiness. There's going to be what we need. Listen, in the presence of the church. But you know what? We need to have Him in the presence of conversation. Remember what was taking place, and Brother Bell had already mentioned it, that when the disciples were walking away and they were walking down the road, that they started talking about all that happened and all that went on with Jesus, and Jesus Himself showed up.
Amen.
They were talking about Him in their conversation. And He said, "Why are you so sad?" And they told Him the story, and it was Jesus. And just like Brother Bell brought out, did not our hearts burn within us?
Amen.
While He walked in the way with us. Amen? And He spoke unto them the Word of God about Himself. You know, that brings rejoicing when He shows up in our conversations.
Amen.
We'll tell about Him. Amen. Listen, as we look, we ought to tell about Him. We ought to sing about Him. We ought to praise about Him. We ought to do those things that needs to be done. His presence in the church, when we talk about Him and tell about Him, and we have our songs all about Jesus. Let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus. You know what? If we keep Christ in our mind, and let this mind, let His mind. What was His mind? To glorify the Father. Amen. Listen, he was the mind of Christ, but we need to have the mind of Christ. Amen. We need to think the things He would think. We need to carry Him on in conversation. You know, the best thing we could do is when we come to the house of God, some folks talk about this or that or the other thing. Sometimes they talk about hunting, fishing. Some places they talk about the ball game. But a lot of times they don't talk much about Jesus. That ought to be our conversation. Let us talk about Him. Let us brag on Him. Let us praise Him. You know what? Here's what it does. Here's what happens when we... The things which bring joy is a promise of His reward. Listen to what He said in Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter number 5. And look over there with me just for a minute. And I want you to see something there with me. You remember the disciples came back and they were rejoicing that they had powers over the devils.
Right.
And remember? And listen to what Jesus told them in verse number 12. And he said this. He said, "Rejoice and be exceedingly glad," chapter 5, verse 12, "for great is your reward in heaven. For they persecuted the prophets which were before you." But I want you to notice what he talks about. He's talking about persecution here. But as we look in our scriptures in chapter number 5, I want you to notice what he talks about. He said in verse number 12, "Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven, for they persecuted the prophets which were before you." He said, "Rejoice." Listen, there's a reward for rejoice. Even when I'm rebuked and reviled by sinners, yes, rejoice. He tells them in another place to rejoice because their names are written in heaven. Amen. They can rejoice because their names is written down. As we see in the Word of God, it's been written down. And thank God it's written. I'm glad my name's written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Amen.
Amen.
And it's there. Listen, we can praise Him, listen, because the Savior, when we think there about the promise of the reward, He's given us promises for the reward. Hey, we can rejoice in the fact that if we're persecuted, we ought to rejoice. Boy, preacher, that's hard to do. It ain't easy. But he tells us this. I remember one preacher, he put up a tent and he wanted to go in evangelism and he prayed to ask God to give him a tent, and it just was hard to get. Finally, somebody got him a tent. He said, "Well, it must be God's will." Said he set the tent up and going to have revival there in Georgia somewhere. And said he set the tent up and about an hour before the tent meeting took place, a tornado came by. And guess what happened to that tent? It was ripped to shreds, laying on the ground. What did he do? He rejoiced. Amen. Sometimes it's hard to rejoice when bad things happen, but he rejoiced.
Amen.
Rejoiced anyway when things happen. Listen, sometimes we don't expect, listen, rejoice. Rejoice brings rewards. Listen, we can see that salvation is a received gift. Amen. I mean, it's nothing we earn, Ephesians 2, 8, and 9. You know that. "For by grace you are saved. That not of yourselves." Huh? Not of works.
Right.
Not of yourselves, lest any man should what? Boast. Say, "Look what I've done." No. It's a gift of God. And so, listen, when we see, we ought to rejoice. We ought to rejoice in the promises. He promised salvation, that whosoever come shall be saved. Amen. If we'll come to Him and repent of our sins and trust Him, we got a promise. Amen. We got a promise. We can rejoice in salvation. I'm glad I don't have to wonder if I'm saved. I'm glad I don't have to try to think I got to work my way to be saved. I'm glad it's something I ain't got to keep, because I can't even keep my car keys. I'm glad it's something that He keeps. Amen?
Yeah.
And it's to His holding. Listen, here's what we'll do. Listen, the promises that He gives. He promises, here's a promise. He promises to fill us with His Spirit and godliness. And the results of His Spirit, Spirit fulfillment is godliness. You know what? He tells us in the book of Romans chapter 8. Or He tells us in Galatians. Now let me get it right in a minute. To be not filled with wine in excess, but be ye filled with the Spirit. Ephesians, isn't it? Where am I at? Ephesians? Y'all help me. Ephesians 5. 18. All right. Be ye filled with the Spirit. Guess what? Be not drunk with wine in excess, but be ye filled with the Spirit. So when we have the Spirit, guess what? We have the promise of Him giving us the Spirit. Jesus said in chapter 15 and chapter 16 both, He said, I go away, I'll send another Comforter.
Amen.
That's the Holy Spirit. And He's come. He's promised and He's come. And the Spirit does this. The results of Spirit filledness is godliness. James said this, James 4:8, draw nigh unto God, and He'll draw nigh unto you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners. Amen? Now, well, I didn't finish the verse. I got to get there. Cleanse your hands, you sinners. Let me get there. I'm sorry. I got some timers. Sometimes I remember, sometimes I don't. None of y'all have that problem, do you? All right, let me get there. In the book of James, chapter number 4. And let me find my verse again. Verse number 8. Chapter number 4, verse number 8. Here's what He said. Draw nigh unto God, and He will draw nigh unto you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. You know what? He tells us this. We can be close to God. How close can we be? As close as you want to be. I mean, brother, Bell over there sitting by Ms. Lisa. If he wants to get closer, all he got to do is scoot over. Huh? Ain't that right? You want to be closer to God, all you got to do is scoot over. Amen. It ain't Him that calls the distance. It's us. And sometimes our life, and sometimes spiritually where we're at, we're the ones that cause the distance. And so, listen, if we'll draw nigh, He gives us this, His presence. He'll be close to us. He said, you draw near to me, and I'll draw near to you. He gives us a promise. He said, I'll draw near to you. That's a promise. With conditions. What's the conditions? He said, the conditions in verse number 8. He tells us His conditions. He said, in that verse, He tells us to wash our hands, to wash our hands, you sinners, and cleanse your hearts. Amen? Isn't that what He tells us to do? He tells us to get our hearts right, cleanse our hands. That means our work on the outside, but what's on the inside too. It's got to be purified. Then we can be drawn nigh to God. Listen, we can see this. Not only the promises bring a reward, but the preaching of Christ bring a reward. Philippians 1:18. Listen to what he does. Philippians 1:18. He tells us in the Word of God, He tells us something else. The preaching of Christ, it brings joy. Paul was a preacher of the gospel. Paul did not preach himself, but he preached the Lord Jesus Christ.
Right.
Amen. I'm turning there, folks. Just give me time. Philippians 1 and verse number 18. Philippians 1:18, listen to what it said. What then? Notwithstanding every way, whether Christ in pretense or truth, Christ is preached. I therefore do rejoice and yea, will rejoice. Paul said, whether they're pretending like they're preaching, trying to mock me, or whether they're preaching in truth, listen, Christ is being preached, and I rejoice in the fact that He's being preached.
Amen.
Amen. Well, that's what, listen, folks need to, a lot of people go into deep theology and stuff like that, but Jesus just needs to be preached.
Right.
Amen. Preach Him. Listen, preach His coming, His death and His resurrection. Amen. His birth. Preach it.
Yes, sir.
His second coming, as Brother Bell was talking about earlier in Sunday school, His second coming. But we got to have preaching. Hey, how's preaching come? Huh? I'll give you that in a minute. Hey, preaching brings joy. Listen, it brings joy to us. Faith cometh by what? Hearing, and hearing by the Word of God, which is preaching. You heard, I heard, but how do we hear? Preaching, listen, it came by preaching of the Word of God.
Amen.
And so faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And it goes on and says, how beautiful are the feet of those that preach the gospel.
Amen.
Amen. And so, listen, that brings good tidings of great joy. And that's what it does. Amen. But in the preaching of His Word, here's what it does. The one that came. Boy, that brings me rejoicing. Aren't you glad He came to take my sins away? Aren't you glad He came to be the perfect Lamb of God? Without spot, without blemish. He was tried. Pilate even announced, I find no fault in Him.
Amen.
Amen. He came. Hey, in the fullness of time, God sent forth His Son, born of a woman. Hey, listen. In God's time, God sent Him. And not only that, the preaching of His coming, but the preaching of that He came, but the preaching of Him being crucified. I'll never forget the first time I really heard about the crucifixion. The first time I really heard about the crucifixion is the day I really got saved. Because it didn't go here. It went here. Amen. In my heart, and I heard about how Jesus suffered, and He bled, and He died, and He did it for a sinner just like me.
That's right.
Hey, listen, they preached the cross of Christ. I remember somebody asked Dr. Seitler one time if he'd preach a series on some other messages, and he said, I don't know that I could stay away from the cross that long.
Right. Yeah.
Amen. Listen, it all comes back to the cross where Jesus died and was crucified. And listen, not only that, but listen, preaching about the cross, but then preaching about His conquering death. Listen, the resurrection. He conquered death, hell, and the grave. Y'all know it. I'm not telling you nothing you ain't heard before. And listen, not only He conquered, but because He conquered, He made us conquerors.
Right.
Matter of fact, He said in the book of Romans chapter 8, He's made us more than conquerors through Christ who loves us. To be more than a conqueror? Jesus, listen, He's made us conquerors with Him. We can conquer things with Him.
Right.
And so, listen, He's given us the victory. Why, we shouldn't live like we're losers. We should live like we're winners. Amen. Like that one fellow, you know, that he just got it all. Amen. Listen, here, preaching of the Word of God, here's what it does. It gives us comfort of the one who comes. The one that's coming again. Jesus is coming again. Listen, He's coming. morning, noon, or night. I'm looking forward to His coming.
Amen.
Listen, that ought to be the thing we're looking for. That ought to be the thing we're excited about. Hey, listen, somebody might not have to go through another test at the doctor's, not have to go through any more treatments of anything. Jesus could come and take us out of here. Amen. Take a last trip to the funeral home, no more. Last trip to the hospital, no more. Why? Because He's coming again. And He's coming and I'm leaving. And the world can have it. Amen. You know, I told one preacher, I was just kidding with him. He come visit over to church, and we had a Saturday night sort of evening meal, and he said, "Well, I'll see you tomorrow." I said, "Yeah, if the Lord don't come back, I'll see you." Yeah. He said, "Well, I'm going too." I'm just picking at him. But, you know, we're going. We're leaving. Yeah. But listen, here's something else. We see this. We see the prosperity of the believer. What do you mean, being rich? I mean being rich toward God. It tells us in 2 Corinthians, we see in 2 Corinthians, I want to look there just for a moment. In 2 Corinthians, we notice this in chapter, let me find my place. In chapter 2 Corinthians chapter number 7, in verse number 13, notice what he tells us here. "Wherefore I said, though I wrote unto you, I did it not for his cause that had done the wrong, for his cause this suffered wrong, the one that cares for you in the sight of God, and might be, did I write down, and God might appear unto you." Now, he tells us this as we look at it. He says, "Therefore we are comforted in your comfort, and exceedingly the more joy for the joy of Titus, because his spirit was refreshed in you all." Listen, there's something that takes place. There's a prosperity that we can find in submission, and we find the joy of God in submission. If we submit ourselves to God, we find out what's happened to Titus. "Therefore, we were comforted in your comfort, yea, exceedingly the more joy we for the joy of Titus, because his spirit was refreshed."
Amen.
You know what brings joy? Other Christians bring joy. Other Christians can bring us joy. Amen. We see it in 2 Corinthians. They brought him joy. He talked about where he had went unto him, and the cause, and said this, "For his cause that suffered wrong, that our care for you in the sight of God might appear unto you. Therefore, because of that, we comfort in your comfort, ye and exceedingly the more joy we have for the joy of Titus." See, something had taken place. Titus had gotten joy from them. Titus had been refreshed in them. Christians ought to refresh other Christians and help our joy. Amen, preacher. We ought to prosper from other Christians. We ought to submit to God's Word and God's be with God's people. Listen, and that brings us joy in Him. Hey, when we look to the place that we need to do, as He said, listen, submit, but be steadfast in the work of God. That's what He tells us in Corinthians. Be steadfast, always abounding in the work of the Lord. Going forward. There's no retreat in God's army. Amen.
Right.
It brings us joy. Seeking God's will will bring us joy. I sort of covered that a little bit. It prospers us to bring God's joy. You know what? When we look and see what's taking place, not only that, but God's preserved Word ought to bring us joy. I'm glad I carry a preserved Word of God, the King James 1611 Bible. Amen. It is the Word of God. Listen to what it said in the book of Psalms in 119, and you know this scripture, verse number 160. He said, "Thy Word is true from the beginning, and every one of thy righteous judgments endureth forever. Princes had persecuted me without a cause, but my heart stands in awe of thy word. I rejoice at thy word as one that findeth a great spoil. You know what he said? I'm rejoicing in the word of God. It's making me happy. It's thrilling my heart. Amen. Y'all know what I mean? Y'all know what rejoicing means? I mean, being happy in the Lord. I mean, your mama-in-law ain't moved in to stay, has she? I'm just picking. I'm picking. But anyway, let's notice what's taking place. We see the prosperity. The prosperity and the work of prosperity in His will. And then the preservation of the Scriptures. God keeps His Scriptures preserved. Rejoicing having God's Word. I'm glad I got it. I'm rejoicing in holding it. I rejoice in hearing God's Word. Listen, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. I'm rejoicing hearing God's Word. I'm rejoicing hiding God's Word. Psalms 119, verse number 11, where it says, Thy Word I have hid in my heart that I should not, that I shall not sin against God.
Amen.
Hide God's Word. Hide it right there in your heart. Let it stay there. Not only that, listen, rejoice in heeding God's Word. Boy, I'm glad one day I heard, and I'm glad I heeded. I'm glad I heard what the Lord had to say, and listen, He had called, and when He called, I heeded His Word, I heeded His call, and I came to the Savior and got born again by the Spirit of God. Listen, I'm glad He saves us. So we see the prosperity. We see the preservation. Listen, rejoice in hiding His Word, hearing His Word. But we are all to rejoice. You ought to thank God for a pastor like Brother Hall and Brother Shepherd that heralds the Word. We're rejoicing that the Word is heralded into all the world. That means preached. Amen.
Amen.
Right, I'm glad it was preached unto me. I'm glad I can herald it to others. That others may hear. I'm glad that you can speak it to others. That others may hear. But you know what? Or to bring us rejoicing, pardon. Or to bring us rejoicing. Jesus told them in Luke chapter 10 verse 20. Notwithstanding. Notwithstanding in this rejoice. Not that the spirits are subjected unto you. But what? But rather rejoice that your names are written in heaven. Rejoice. Or rejoice because pardon brings us joy. One day I was a sinner and I got pardoned. Jesus took His sins on me. And the sins that I have is gone. Amen. They're not there anymore. They're taken out of the way. Listen, we ought to do that because rejoicing because of the penalty. I was under the penalty of death and hell. But now we're under the penalty of life and everlasting. Listen, when this soul leaves this body in a Christian, they go to be with the Lord. To be absent from the bodies, to be present with the Lord. Amen. We can rejoice in the fact that we have been pardoned, and being pardoned, here's what it is, from the penalty and from sin. And so Jesus pardoned us all. He pardoned us through His cross. Through His blood we are cleansed. Amen. I'm glad, listen, not only that, because heaven is now my promise. My promise. Amen. One day I'm going to where Jesus said in John 14,
yes, sir.
Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in me, believe also in God. For in my Father's house are many mansions. Amen? Amen. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. I like this. That where I am, there you may be also. Listen, we got a place prepared. We see heaven is promised. We see this. Guess what? Heartaches are past. We can get to the place we can look at where the pardon brings a past heartache. You know, today brings troubles. There's troubles on every side. You know, perplexity on every side. But at every side of that, Jesus is by our side.
Amen.
I like that, amen? I don't have to go through them alone. He's with me. He gives me joy to go through them. Listen, because the heartaches are past now, and our sins and our sorrows and our sufferings are gone. Gone, gone, gone. When I think about this and our joy, do we have our joy? Is our joy full? As Jesus talked about, having the fullness of joy. He said, I spoke these things unto you that your joy may be full in the book of John. He wants us to have full joy. Or I wonder if we've hung it on the willow somewhere. And the song's gone. And the praising's gone. Can I say something as a former member without just being very offensive? Well, I remember when we used to shout and run in this place. Where's it at? Amen.
Yeah,
amen. And I say, been Kentucky, amen, or oh me. But we need to get back to a place of having joy.
Amen.
I mean, bring it. Have it in the church house. Have it outside. Have it in the car. Have it at home. Have your joy.
Amen.
God wants us to be joyful and not sorrowful.
Right.
Let's bow our heads just for a moment. Father, we're thankful to this morning for your goodness, your mercy, and your grace. We pray that you'd take the feeble message that I preached and God just do with it what you will with hearts. That, Lord, if some folks have lost their joy, that they can have joy again by just coming to you and asking you to give them their joy. And they can rejoice in the fact that you bless and you give blessings to your people and you want us to be a joyful people. Help us now to do that. Help the world see our joy and say, I want what he's got. Father, we ask these things for Jesus' sake, in His name we pray. Amen. God spoke to your heart. You need to come. This altar's open. Where's your joy at? Do you have the joy you used to have? Or have you lost some of your joy? Is our cup running over? Or as our cup doesn't have much in it anymore. God spoke to your heart. You come to the altar. She's going to play a little bit. You need to come. I want you to come. Let the Lord have His way in your life, in your heart. If you don't have that joy like you used to, maybe because of sickness, maybe because of sorrows, maybe because of circumstances, you can have it in the midst of that all. In the midst of your storm, you still can have joy. Spoke to your heart, you come. Ms. Elizabeth is going to play one more verse, and if nobody moves, we'll be done. And you'll say to the Lord, Lord, I'm done what you want me to do. Amen. Well, appreciate being here this morning. Amen. I hope the Lord blessed this mess I did. Amen. I felt like I made a mess, but that's what He told me to do. So I guess if me making a mess was in His will, then I did it. All right. But good to be in the Lord's house. And you pray the Lord help us tonight and give us what we need. And we're going to be dismissed. You need to come and dismiss us in prayer, Brother Fale, if you would, please.